Welcome to Revelation Warning, a weekly podcast hosted by Pastor Robert Thibodeau as he interviews prophecy experts from around the world as we discuss current events in relation to Bible prophecy. All of this is to give the world a final Revelation Warning. Now, here is your host with this week's guest, Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Revelation Warning Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us here today, as we're going to be looking today at what is happening in the world right now. And Tom Donnan is back with us today as we discuss Bible prophecy in relation to current events. And boy, do we have some current events happening right now that definitely relate to Bible prophecy. Amen. First, help me welcome back to the program our good friend, Tom Donnan. Tom, it's good to have you back in the saddle, buddy.
Pastor Bob, we always have a fun conversations. We've already had a good extended conversation.
Yeah, I should have hit the record button half an hour ago.
I'm telling you. Yeah. So when we get together, it's like two peas in a pod, so to speak, and looking forward and what God's doing and what we like to see God do, for the good of humanity and those that we love. Yeah, so I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Amen. Now, last week at the time of this recording, last week or the week before, I seen a news report where Elon Musk had developed a brain chip that can be inserted into the human brain. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did watch it, yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Talk about prophecy being fulfilled. I'll just let you take it from there, because I know you got something you want to say about that. Go ahead.
Well, I was listening this morning because, I like to try to get updates just before we get together. And so this thing about the Neuralink that Elon Musk has developed, and they're trying it with human subjects, they want to bridge the broken parts so that they can have their life back again. And it seems all well and good, but it does fall right into the prophecy area, and I've heard conversations just yesterday with pastors talking about the digital currency, and being connected to some type of chip or some kind of mark. And then this morning I was listening to this Timcast, which is interesting group of young 30 somethings. And they were talking about how now this Neuralink could be possibly used for criminals in punishment. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is like going way too far. But then they expand on this. And I think it's, all right, what we've gone way past playing God, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
all that stuff. Yep.
Oh, so now they have this thing where they take a bunch of brain tissue, and they found that if they put it on a piece of technology that enables it to connect to the brain tissue. What do they call it? I'm looking for the word here.
Neuroformic engineering.
Oh, I mean, I can't even spell that, That's beyond my six-letter word comprehension. And so that is the part that is so mind-boggling. But what they're finding out is that it starts to be where this interaction, this blob of tissue, starts to recognize voices after just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Is that scary?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Because living tissue will reproduce itself. I mean, that's what makes it alive, right? Living tissue will make these neural connections, these nerve connections automatically, right? So that's what it's doing. It's centered around this chip, and it's integrating the nerve connections to the chip, because that's all it knows right now. That's where it's receiving electrical stimulation. So, this is important. So it's connected to this thing. And it says it can be connected to a supercomputer that does 200 trillion functions per
second. I know. I was, I'm just looking at the stats, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because that's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Per second.
Oh.
Per second. And it says that it's you know, a computer itself needs a lot of energy to operate, but the human mind requires low energy to perform for decades. Wow. And they're trying to put this computer into the human mind and let that do all the functions. I mean,
Yeah. All right.
Where's Arnold Schwarzenegger? You know, the Terminator. Click. You know.
Yeah, futuristic, right? Mm-hmm. You know. So here you have this man's mind, the computers, right? Takes all this power to be able to function, and then you got God's version of the mind that runs on low energy. I mean, go figure, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
But yeah, it's already identifying human. It's not identifying the speech. It just recognizes when a human's talking rather than a computer stimulation type thing.
Yes. But, external, internal. Oh yeah, man.
It's becoming a brain chip. And like you say, you mentioned something about, you know, might be able to do something with criminal punishment. Well, you know, let's look at it from the point of view, let's stop the criminals before something happens, where they get these chips, you know, like your cell phone, you know, if you drop it and you don't pick it up within so many minutes, it'll notify EMS and your family and stuff. Hey, something happened to this guy because he fell and he's not getting up. Right. So it automatically sends it out. It senses and then sends out a communication. If they put these brain chips in people, make it a requirement, you know, and then you start thinking, well, I'm going to rob this 7-Eleven right here. As soon as this car leaves, there's nobody there. I'm going in there. And next thing you know, the police car pulls in and say, come here, bud. You're coming with me. You know, the intent was there. So you're going to be in charge with intent. You know,
well, I was just thinking about that movie that was like that, The Minority Report, you know, with Tom Cruise. Yeah. The intent was there, right? You say
the intent was there.
Well, that's, you know, Jesus gets into that in the Sermon of the Mount, you know, where he says, okay, so if you think about this, it's already a sin. So, but he gives you the option to deal with it, and, you know, right or wrong. But who knows where this could go? Oh, you thought this, so now you're in trouble, pal.
Yep. It's, you know, it's almost, how can I say this, Lord? It's almost as good as your wife's sense.
Oh, because, intuition.
Yeah, well, you look at, you know, you're walking down the street, you got your sunglasses on, and you see a pretty girl walking. Wow. You know, and you turn around and your wife, she's already staring at you. She knew. That's the way this is going to be. That computer chip is going to be like, he's looking at it.
Yeah. No, I never liked that part of it, you know, because it's like, wait a minute. How do you already know? I didn't verbalize this. Okay.
That's right. That's
right.
She says what? I know you. You know, type thing, right? So, no, I was looking at the don't lie.
Yeah.
Hey, man, praise God. Now, you also have an update for us on something that's very important to things we talked about, which was the coming of the third temple and all that good stuff. And it's about the red heifers
Right
now in Israel. What's going on there?
Okay. So, you know, what happens is that when I start to do these outlines, because it takes me sometimes a couple days to gather the information, put it in an outline, and send it off to you. And as I just finished this segment, what happened is that I had a thought, and the thought was red heifer. And I'm thinking, where in the world did that come from? So, of course, I searched it. Do you see where people are speculating that there is a possibility? Of course, this was months ago, because we're within about 7 weeks of this being 8 weeks, no, Passover. They said it's plausible that it could enter into the right requirements because the red heifers will be 2 years old now. They have five candidates that are so close to perfection that they could literally be ready to sacrifice a red heifer for the purification of the final temple. And so that is really moving along. Like we talk about, this is really moving forward to the climax of the end of the age.
Yeah. Amen. And with the attack October 7th, you know, and everything going on in Israel right now, I mean, this lines up with a lot of things that we see happening. You know, the United Nations is trying to organize a coalition of countries to condemn Israel for their continued response to the attacks from October 7th. And That goes right along with the Bible says will happen. You know, Israel is all alone against the world. And, yes, you know, and we can even see the United States starting to waver a little bit. You know, they're telling Israel, hey, you need to stop and all this other stuff. Right. And, you know, at least at the government level, you know, but this is not good at all as far as the situation worldwide goes. Mm-hmm. It's good prophecy wise, because, you know, in order to bring all this to a halt, I guess you could say, and, you know, the countries have already committed money to rebuilding Palestine or Gaza and all that stuff. But in order to make that happen, you know, Israel saying, nope, we're not stopping until Hamas is wiped out. Well, in order to make them draw back, you got to give them something. Well, what could they come up with? Well, how about we let you build your temple?
Well, peace deal.
And where did we read about that?
I know.
I can't remember.
Was that, but, is that in a book somewhere?
Yeah, some book. I read it in some book somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody said something about there'd be a third temple. Like, where? You know? So, but could this be the lead up to the third temple? And I believe it is. I really believe it is. And they already got the heifers there to appear. And I mean, they don't even have to build a temple. Right, they got the tabernacle ready to go. You know, I've been told that they can have that tabernacle up in one day. Just, boom, they got everything ready. All they got to do is, you know, the Muslims in control of the Temple Mount say, okay, go ahead. And they, you know, they'll work 24 hours to get that thing set up and bring in that cow and make the first sacrifice.
That's how close we are.
Yeah. Amen. It could happen quick.
You know, okay, so here's a caveat to that, and that would be is that I often talk about being a volunteer of Need Him Ministries, and so what happened just a while ago, and then just last week, I got connected to a young man. Both times it was a young man, and they were in Israel, right? So they're coming in to have a chat because they had converted into Christianity. Now, the first guy that I talked to was so alone because he had been 4 years since his conversion, and he can't talk about it. He says, I just can't tell people that I'm a Christian because of the he'd be ostracized and fallout because of that, right? And so he was very discouraged. So I was giving him information. I prayed with him, and then I gave him a link at the end, and the link was for Victory City, which is a church in my area where God has been moving and where signs and, you know, wonders, healings, deliverances take place. And so I gave him that link. And when I shared the link with him, the power of the Holy Spirit just came on me so strong. It was amazing. And so I start typing in there. I'm telling him, I says, the Holy Spirit's on me with power right now. And he comes back and he goes, the same thing's happening on this end, right? And he goes, it's been a long time. It had such a dry spell. Now the Holy Spirit pouring over him, right? Amen. And so now the second person was not as concerned about the secrecy, and we had a good conversation. And then it occurred to me, am I talking to a few of the 144,000 that will be witnesses during the tribulation period?
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yes, they're getting ready to evangelize.
Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Because, they'll be here. that's good. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And there's so much stuff going on. I mean, have you seen the latest fad, I guess you could say, is the jellyfish UFOs? Have you seen anything about that?
Well, remember, I think it was probably about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, we're talking about John Kilpatrick's video that's called What If, you know, and he lays it out. He lays it out very well. This is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And now it's happening to where we have UFOs that are coming out with videos on a regular basis. There's this guy that he forecasts the weather in different aspects. Well, people are sending him so many videos that half of his program now is about these things that they are seeing in the sky, whether it be during the day or during the night. He had one yesterday about this fireball that cut through the atmosphere and never hit the ground because it just went right through the atmosphere and out the other side. It was so big. Wow. And so, but he also talks about the UFOs or the UAPs that people are seeing around the world, and people are just flooding him with these pictures. So, but this one about the jellyfish is kind of like an undistinguishable blob that's somewhat translucent or transparent that floats through the sky. No, and they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. But this is becoming a daily occurrence now, to where people are seeing these events. What about the one down in Miami? Did you take a look at that?
Yeah.
Being an ex-policeman, what do you think that citywide alert was about?
I thought at first they said it was a shooting at the mall. And that's why the police were there, you know. But, you know, I did see a video where they were able to, do something with the pixels and stuff to clear it up. And it was three people walking side by side on that one where it says something was walking outside the mall. It says it was three people walking side by side. They went up that way and seen the police turn around and start walking back the other way. And that's why it was like pacing it back and forth. But, but you know, there's just so many. Yeah, that answered that question. But what about the others? It's amazing. And you notice all this starts happening just about the time the government comes out and says, hey, you know, we're not alone, you know. And the Vatican has that observatory up on top of the mountain called Lucifer's Telescope.
I know. Is this bizarre or what?
Yeah. The Vatican has a telescope named Lucifer.
Yes. And so that, I think it was the response that really caught my attention, because in the video that we had posted the link for, it has at least 50 to 60 cars in that one view. And that wasn't all of them. Now, you don't have a fight or a gang fight, you know, even a shooting. You don't have that many cars show up for.
Right.
No, for that kind of thing. Yeah. It's, so that's the curious part about it, because I don't think we're getting the whole story. That's the thing, though.
No, and like I said, if they created the video that showed three people, with technology the way it is today, they could have just made it look like
three people. Well, yeah. Oh, you know? No, this is serious. The AI thing is changing everything. It's getting to the point where you can't trust anything that you see anymore unless it's like in person.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like I said, what was a 10-foot tall creature walking in front of the mall? And they said, oh, that was just three people walking side by side. But I'm still thinking. You know, I could see three people walking side by side, but it would not make them 10 feet tall. It just make them 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
Not tall.
Yes.
But think about it, you know.
Well, there was one interesting thing that I saw on somebody's video, and this was it's fascinating that some of the stuff is like disappearing. Go figure, right? Right. So as I watched this one, this woman was talking about how if you actually do a location, latitude, longitude of where the Miami Mall is, they said that they had reversed the numbers, right? And when they reversed the numbers and they put it in for Google to show where that latitude and longitude is, they said that it showed up in Antarctica someplace.
Oh, really? Right?
And I'm thinking, if some kind of portal did open up, maybe there was a mistake. So it gave you a little bit of twinge to think about, you know?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, because I know there's a lot of talk right now about something going on under some base or something underneath the Antarctic ice cap. Like I say, you talk about Pastor John Kilpatrick's video about the emergence of UFOs and aliens, you know, and his message called What If. And you know, we've talked before about something to the effect of, you know, we are who you call God, that message will be delivered when they actually show themselves.
And
what's that going to do to organized religion at that point? You know,
it's already in chaos.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked before, we would talk about this for a couple of years, but you know, when the rapture happens, how is the government going to explain all these people missing? Right. Mm-hmm. And now they got an out.
Yes.
Our alien friends have gotten rid of all the doubters.
Yes. You know? A and way of explaining go. It. Yes. Yep.
There you go. And something to that effect. And they got their out now to be mm-hmm. able to explain it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you say, no, that's not true, now you're labeled a doubter. You are now the enemy.
Oh, yeah. And time to be on a strong foundation of Jesus Christ.
We need to put a chip in your mind to control your thoughts. Yeah. There you go. Man. Now we're right back to where we started again.
Yeah. So what did you think about that next topic? You know, we're talking about outer space. Let's talk about outer space just above our atmosphere. What did you think about that one? Go ahead.
It's a junkyard out there.
Man, oh man.
This is so crazy. You know, I mean, how can you even keep track of that much stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and think about, you know, you're going to launch men through that thing. It'd be like launching a rocket through New York City in rush hour and have it maneuver around all the cars so it doesn't hit none.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's nuts. You know?
Yeah. When I took a look at that picture and I saw where the debris is, the debris and stuff that is up in space right now, the amount of satellites that is up there, and who knows what else is going on up in that thing. And the person was saying is that the magnetic field that we have around the Earth is not that strong to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you have all this metal that is out there, and they're wondering, have we gone too far? That's the person's question.
Yeah.
Because is the metal out there going to affect the magnetic field of Earth? And then we've already talked about in the past about how the magnetic field is changing in the world system.
Yep.
And we've talked about the moving North Pole before. As I said,
that shift. Yep. Yep.
Yes. And so does this play into that? That's what the person was questioning. And when you look at that picture, your mind is like boggled with all that debris and satellites that are up there.
Yep. And if you think about it, if you have the magnetic field, and then you got this metal debris that's just kind of now floating around, what's it going to be attracted to? A magnet. And as more and more of it drifts towards the poles, that makes the magnet even stronger because now it's attracting the debris next to that, next to that, next to that.
Yeah.
You know, and you make a huge electromagnet.
This is the concern.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
and
oh
how
man.
Does that affect us on Earth?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But
I mean, it's, you know, for so long, I mean, it used to be. And I know some people get upset with me when I talk like this. You know, you talk about the movies and stuff with Jesus walking through the streets of Jerusalem and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, they don't show what it was really like because it'd be too disgusting. But there was no sewage systems.
Yeah.
And you got that many people living in this town. It's got to go somewhere.
Somewhere.
And usually is right out the front door in a little ditch that would just carry it through town and, you know, and off to somewhere. But could you imagine what that smelled like?
Mm.
You know? And, you know, they had to go to the bathroom somewhere, you know? You know, you just didn't walk around all day in the city and not go somewhere. And, you know, but that caused problems, but nobody wants to talk about, you know, all of that stuff. And over time, we adapted, you know, the sewage systems and all that stuff. But even mm-hmm. now in some cities, like here in Baltimore, this stuff's 120 years old and it's breaking.
Oh yeah. The system.
Yeah. The systems are breaking down and, you know, then, well, it's going to cost us $1 billion to fix it. You know, well, so you're just going to leave it, right? But, you know, you got all these problems that we have created as a fix to another problem that are now coming back as their own problems. And at first, you know, yeah, we'll just leave that, you know, booster up there because it's not hurting nothing.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I mean, you got Elon Musk launching all these Starlink satellites and,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff. And, you know, and they're just crisscrossing the Earth and you know, yeah. Each one is in their own unique orbit. But if you take those orbits and just say, okay, well, it's 100 miles there. Like I said, you're sending people through this stuff, you know, to get yeah. to an orbit up in space. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah. Let me just ask this question. What could go wrong?
Oh, gee. Stuff. Life happens. Stuff happens.
Yeah. What you gonna do? Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It really is. And to think, you know, we've talked before about the asteroids headed for Earth and I didn't see the one about the fireball you're talking about, but obviously they missed that one, you know, type thing. We know there's a couple that are going to be passing between the Earth and the Moon here shortly in a couple mm-hmm. of years. And, you know, that, you know, according to our calculations, you'll be fine. You know, yeah. It'll be visible in the daylight as you see it go by, but don't worry yeah. about it, you know, and oh, man. And then, you know, you couple that with what we were talking about happening in Israel right now and the economy yeah. and all this, you know, brain chips and all. I mean,
yeah.
Could it be, all be leading up to something? You know, and that's.
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, then you got the economy here in the United. I mean, you see all these massive layoffs coming to America. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, that is pretty scary. You know, they used to have this saying, you know, because my parents had lived through the Great Depression and parents and grandparents, you know, and one of the sayings is that it's a recession when your neighbor's laid off, but it's a depression when you're laid off.
Yeah. Right? Amen. Yeah.
It's so now we're starting to see the economy spiral downward to where people that I'm talking to are now becoming concerned because if you have a person laid off now, they can't buy goods. Now, when you have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people laid off, now they don't have goods. And how are they going to pay for their mortgages and their utility bills and food? You know, and so it spirals downward and out of control to where lives are just disrupted. And it becomes very scary. And that's what we're watching happen here, because it's just the fourth quarter earnings of last year are signaling to the corporations, we're in serious trouble. We have to cut back in order to survive. And in those cutbacks, then people wind up going. And that's what we're about to see happening and what is happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, the answer is the government will provide for them. You know, we'll just do more, you know, distributions of wealth here and take it from those that have it and give it to those that don't and everybody be happy.
Oh, gee, what are we all going to be?
But that causes inflation. So you have people unemployed, can't afford anything now, but the prices are going to go up because when you flood money into the economy, everyone says, well, everybody's got money now. Let's raise the prices again, you know?
All right. So here's a side issue. Right. So a couple of years ago, by the church that I was attending in Joliet here, is that I was taking some of my clothes to the dry cleaner. Right. Well, what happened is that the dry cleaner closed because they said that there was an illness in the family. Right. And so now I shifted down about six blocks away and I shifted to another one. Right. Well, that one recently closed because he said that there was a illness in the family. OK, so I'm thinking, wait a minute, this can't be that coincidental. Right. So I'm driving down towards downtown Joliet, and there is this dry cleaner that is now a barber shop.
Hmm.
Okay, right. So I just picked up laundry yesterday, or dry cleaning yesterday, And in the course of, let's say, 2.5 years, it went from $2.50 to $5 a piece. That's what you're talking about. It gets to the point where the discretionary money is getting to be a concern and tight. And so therefore, people cut back. And I am thinking that this contributes to those that have decided whether they're going to get it dry cleaned or not.
Yeah.
In just one small way, it's showing up.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, here in Maryland, they're pushing for giving waitresses and waiters $15 an hour. Make it mandatory. $15 an hour. Right now, they make like $3.25 or something, but they get tips. Right. And, you know, they interviewed a restaurant owner and he said he makes about 20% profit on the sales that he gets. Right. Mm-hmm. And he says, so if you buy, you know, a $10 burger and fries, you know, he said, by the time he gets done with taxes, like $1.75 is what he makes. Right. And so if you're giving the waitress, you know, a 10% tip and say you 20% tip, $2, you know, whatever on that. And that's, you know, and she's serving like four tables. Okay. She's making, you know, equivalent about $15 an hour, something like that. But people are talking about if they're raising, you know, they're going to raise their wages $15, I'll stop tipping. You know, now you go into a nice restaurant. That, you know, you're paying $30 for a steak dinner or something like that. You know, my wife and I go out, the bill is easily just for us two. It's going to be $65, $70. And I usually give, you know, like $20 tip, something like that. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if the restaurant owner has to raise, he says he's going to have to raise his prices to cover that $15 an hour. So the prices are going to go up 10 to 15%. Right. So now, instead of spending, you know, we'll just say $70, now it's going to cost us $100. And the people are saying, well, you know, I'll stop giving tips. You know, if I'm going to have to pay that much more for my meal, I'm not going to give a tip.
Yeah.
And so now in those restaurants, if the waitress is making $3 an hour, she's got four tables and the average bill is $70 and people are giving $20 tips. And that 1 hour people are in there, she just made, you know, $50, $60, $70 in tips. We'll put it like that. Plus her $3 an hour, right? So she's making like $75 an hour. Now she's going to make $15 an hour. You know, and because people are paying $30 more for their dinner, so the owner can pay her $15 an hour. Yeah. And they're like, you know, the waiters and waitresses are like, this is going to hurt us. Some of them are happy. Oh yeah, I get paid $15 an hour. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Cause they're thinking tips on top of that, you know, but people are saying, no, the one, we're not going to go out to dinner as often. And that they're talking to restaurant owners about that too. You know, we'll cut from six waitresses to three. So three people automatically lose their job, you know, and then the other three are going to be suffering because they're not going to get as much in tips. But they're working twice as hard, you know? So, I mean, it's the people don't think about this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And waiters and waitressing and bussing tables and working at McDonald's, you know, that McDonald's employees are making $15 an hour here, you know? I don't think when I was growing up, my plan was to make a career out of working at McDonald's. you know, working at Hardee's, you know, that was like a temporary thing till I got something better, you know, type thing. You know, your first job in high school, okay, yeah, you know, here you go. You can make minimum wage here, you know. I don't think it was ever meant as a career choice. But here we are, you know, the economy is bad, and all the government can say is, well, we got to get people more money, and here's how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think about people are going to say, I'm not spending my money like that. I'll go ahead and I'll go down to the grocery store and buy two steaks for $20 and we'll just sit at home and cook them on the grill.
What
have you seen on this?
Well, I had a conversation just about a week ago with a person that said that they had gone, a family of four, they had gone out to breakfast and the bill was $75. for breakfast.
Yeah.
And they were shocked. It makes them reevaluate. Now, when I decide that I want to go out for breakfast, is that typically it's going to cost me $20 when you include the tip. Yeah. Right. So now I just was thinking, oh, you know what? I could go to McDonald's and get $6 for hotcakes and sausage and still have a breakfast out. It's probably more now because I haven't done it in like 6 months. You know, it's probably more for the product. But still, I'm saving $10 knowing I don't have to tip. And this is a thought that entered my mind. And I'm thinking, oh, this might be an option. Or let's say that there is this, oh, it's really bad for me. I found this donut shop. Oh, they got great donuts, you know. And so I can go in there and I can buy myself a vanilla Long John. Ooh. And then the chocolate cake donut. No. And a cup of coffee. $5.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's where you have the alternative to sitting down at a restaurant and, you know, being served and having good food. You know, it is good food. But now you have to rationalize about how to make changes. And people are making changes because the money is starting to get tight. Plus, you know, the fluctuation in gas prices has been pretty high. We're at $3.40 right now. It fluctuates. But you take that into consideration. And so, it's a serious concern. People are reevaluating. I had a guy at church who said that somebody just showed him how he's spending his money, and he was appalled because he spends so much of it on eating out and keeping himself busy that now he's trying to reevaluate how to get out of debt.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I did have one of my, when I was in my, beginning of my 40s, I was working a lot of overtime. I came home one day and I was sitting on my back deck, you know, and I had a nice house at that time. And I thought to myself, I'm a slave to the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
We are to our lenders. We're a slave.
Yeah. Yeah. I said that one time, you know, people say, well, I own my house. Do you own it?
Yeah.
Or right. Does the bank own it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I make my payments, but that's fine. Well, just let's see who really owns it. Just tell the bank I'm not making any more payments and see what happens. You know, like, you know, it's like, you better get out there and go to work. Amen. Yeah. You also told me that you noticed some things happening in the spirit in the last week or so, basically last week of January or so. What do you mean by a spiritual change is taking place?
Yeah, that's kind of concerning to me. Now, back in 2010, the Lord was starting to show me what's going to be happening to America. And in 2011, I saw that there was going to be an invasion of the second level of demonic entities, and it came from Mexico up into Texas. And the first thing they did was run into the churches to wreak havoc. And if you didn't have your secret place in the Lord, they just tore things apart. Well, look at where we're at now. And then in 2012, this was on New Year's Day, both of these events, New Year's Day, I saw where there was positioned higher levels of demonic activity that was just waiting to be released. Okay, so in the beginning of January, one more piece to this puzzle. You know, when you go into one of the bookstores, secular bookstores, you'll get it. It's filled with so much dark stuff, right? And then you have like the these book series that promote different witchcraft and stuff like this. No, for the most part, people have been reading this stuff and absorbing this stuff with little to no consequence.
Yeah.
Right. So at the beginning of this year, I was talking to a bookstore owner up in Wyoming, and they are having such horrible demonic attacks to where people won't go into that house. The house is now vacant because of the stuff that goes on in there, and they don't have anybody that can deal with it. Right. And then you have people that are having these horrific nightmares and experiences, and they don't have people that know how to deal with it. And I was talking to somebody down in Texas that was, he just gave up on his church because it was infiltrated with people from the occult that had the upper hand spiritually, and the spiritual life was snuffed out of the church. And then I have a friend down in Louisiana. And she has got, I talk about the spiritual authority in the name of Jesus, like when he sends out 72, right? They were so shocked because things happened because they used the name of Jesus and his authority was extended to them and miracles and deliverances took place, right? We don't have that. We don't have that. But this woman this woman, she does have this authority. And when she speaks, stuff happens, right? And she goes, Tom, I'm getting so many phone calls. She says, I don't have time to go to these places. She says, we need people that know how to do this. And I'm like, I'm in the same situation. You know, when I'm dealing with people online, I have guys, I had a guy come in from Australia that had such horrific demonic dreams at night. And I said, okay, what did you do? What door did you open up? Right. Yeah. And then he tells me, and I said, well, wasn't there anybody to tell you don't go down this road? And so since the beginning of the year, this has been escalating to where people are having these horrible attacks. And sometimes they want it taken care of and other times they don't. And are you willing to relinquish your right to your life and give it to the Lord Jesus and receive the authority that comes in his name? Because that's the only name that they respond to, demons respond to. You know, and sometimes they say yes. And other times I say, well, when you're in more pain, come on back. Right. And so, but that's where it's at right now is that it's a very, very alarming because some are going deeper into it because they like the power and what goes with it. I had a person come in from England and they said, well, can I be a witch and a Christian at the same time? No. Well, you know, she didn't like that answer. So I start digging into it and I'm explaining to her, well, where was divination? Didn't you read in, you know, the Bible divination? And she says, well, I do everything for the good of other people. I says, well, where do you think this stuff is coming from? You know, you're not tapping into the godly side. You're tapping into the other side. And she explained everything away. And I finally realized, okay, all right, this isn't going well. I told her and I warned her. I says, listen, eventually they are going to turn on you. And when they turn on you, this is what you need to do. No, because somewhere down the road, it is going to happen. This is what we're seeing.
Man. But when demonic activity increases, the Spirit of God also increases, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was I had a 2-hour conversation. Now, normally the rule of thumb is 15, 20 minutes, but if you find somebody that needs more help, and usually when somebody comes in that has suicide on there, I know if I click on that link, I need to have about an hour because it takes a while to dig into this, and it depends upon whether or not they're, how far down the rabbit hole they are. And, you know, and sometimes, majority of the time, they just need someone to care about them, right? And so that will be an hour. But this particular one was a woman that was into intercession. Right. And she was in Florida and she was so excited about it. And then she starts telling me, well, what she was going on. And I had answers for her questions. And all of a sudden she realizes, wait a minute, this is different. Normally I'm the one that's out in the lead and I'm helping other people. But now I got somebody who actually has more insight and experience than I do. And she started pelting me with experiences and information and questions. And how the intercessors in her area would go down to where the occult activities were taking place and try to counteract it by prayer. And I'm telling her, don't do it. It's a stalemate. You're not going to have any progress. You're going to be having your own problems. She goes, I'm in so much spiritual warfare. Stop it now. Right. And so then I told her, I says, this is how you deal with this situation. So when that is revealed, then she comes back and she's got another question. And so after an hour, I'm thinking, okay, all right, maybe it's about time to end this. And she goes, you got time for one more question. And I said, well, that question led to another question. It led to another question, you know. And for 2 hours, I just invested into this person because she was in scripture, but way out of scripture on other areas. So there is a book by John Paul Jackson, the late pastor John Paul Jackson, who talks about in his book, Needless Casualties of War. And that is that when you're dealing with evil, if you step outside of scripture, you're going to get whacked, right? And so this is what this woman was doing. She was getting way outside of scripture and she was getting whacked. And I was at the door, listen, you got to rein this in. The scripture doesn't say to go out and do these things. No, and this is how you combat the evil. And, you know, it comes through repentance, right? The big deal is repentance. Yeah. No. And people don't necessarily want to do that, you know, because it hurts to deal with that. And you don't want to go into your own sin and acknowledge that. And, you know, it's so it wound up being a very good conversation. And I felt that she was in a much better place. And I gave her books that she could read to help along the line. And I thought to myself, now in the hands of God, this woman can really be used to help change things around. Because intercessors will go before God and they'll say, please forgive these sins, whether it's for an individual or for a community or whatever. And in the right circumstances, God will accept it. And then that is taken away. And that woman is going to bring change now in the kingdom of God. And that was very, very exciting.
Amen. Yeah, you got to be careful when you're dealing with the demonic. I mean, we have authority. That's true. But at the same time, you know, if you're venturing to an area that you have little to no training in, you know, I mean, imagine if you handed a private a tank, you know, day one basic training, said, we need you out on the battlefield, just go. He had no training in. The tank's capable of doing what you needed to do, but, you know, he might be able to looking at it, figure out how to make it move, and okay, this is where the round goes, but he's not going to be effective with it. Matter of fact, it's taken him so long to do what needs to be done, the enemy's taking him out, you know? And you say, wow, we gave him a tank, but he didn't get trained on it, you know? And training comes through being exposed to little things over and over again, and you realize what needs to take place. But I was thinking about the seven sons of Sceva, you know?
Yeah.
And, the response of that, yeah. I have to give that demon credit. I mean, he came up with a good line I use over and over again. He goes, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and moving in this realm, moving in this realm, you have to be squeaky clean in your life. You have to have stand out of it. You know, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, I've seen him in person a couple of times, and he'll look right out in a group and he'll go, you got sin in your life. Get rid of it now. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to move in deliverance, you have to have a squeaky clean life because they'll whack you. So some of the prayers that I have developed in the books that I have written, they're designed because I got tired of getting whacked. Right. When I was praying with people and being delivered, what I mean by whacked is that when a person is delivered from a demon, they're not happy about it. Right. And so if they can get me and their spirit hit my spirit, that's what I call being whacked. And it's usually not a very good experience. So I had to learn how to pray and to pray, station angels around them, cover them with the blood of Christ, and then get into the deliverance prayers. And 95% of the time, it doesn't happen anymore. Thank God, because I was getting tired of it. No, amen. But when you start getting into this for territorial and regional areas, you know, you have to have that God sending you. No. Yeah. And if you're not sent, look out, it's not going to be good for you. And so we don't have people like this. Yeah. This is the problem. We don't have people prepared to be able to step into a deliverance situation and be able to see this. I'm glad that they're stepping out and they're trying, but the sons of Sceva thing is a reality. You get hit pretty bad and you'll think about it and you'll say, maybe this isn't for me. Now, I started getting this education in the year 2000 of coming in through this. And I don't think anybody would pray. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe somebody would. But I'm telling you, education has not been fun. You know, it's been a road of hard knocks and it's been used. But when you can have a church or a city have that 2 Chronicles 7:14, realize that's a formula. God will honor that. And if you get that formula enacted, then what happens is that you get his ear. And when you get his ear, he'll say, okay, I got an intercessor that's prepared for this, right? And then he'll say, okay, let's say whoever, but there are times that I get it and he'll say, okay, I want you to go to this territory. And when I'm there, then he'll open up the dynamic of by which he wants the sins being repented of. And then he accepts it. And that's what brings the change.
Amen. Amen. Tom, we're about out of time. I'd like you to pray for someone right now who may be listening to us and realize, I need Jesus right now. Could you do that for
me? Oh, yes. That is a wonderful honor because we want the goodness of God and the regeneration and the cleansing to happen in multiple lives and mass events. So the people that we're reaching out to right now, pray with me. Dear Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus and the work he did on the cross. By shedding his blood on the cross, he gained forgiveness of sins. He paid the price that Father God had required. Innocent blood would be shed for the sins of humanity. I want to tell you, Father, that I am a sinner. I am sorry for the pain my sins have caused you. I ask that you'd please forgive me. Now I invite Jesus to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to live for him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Tom, it's been so interesting. How can someone reach out to you and ask a question or get more information?
It would be through email, healingthenation1776@gmail.com. And my several of my books are PDF free at zoehealingcenter.com. You can go in there and you will find at least 8 books that are free that are all spiritually and equipping and encouraging.
Amen. Praise God. I'll put links all this in the show notes down below. Folks, our discussion today was not to instill fear, but faith. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the Bible. Faith in biblical prophecy. Faith that none of this is happening by accident. None of this is taking God by surprise, not one bit of it. All of this is leading up to what we call the end times. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer with Tom Donner right now, reach out, let him know, go to church, walk by faith, not by sight. Praise God. Don't be moved by what you see or hear. Be moved by the word of God. And Tom, thank you again for coming on the program today and catching us up on all of what's happening right before our very eyes, man. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Can't wait for the next one. I enjoy our conversation so much. Praise God. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed.
You have been listening to Revelation Warning with Pastor Robert Thibodeau and his guest expert on Bible prophecy as it relates to current events. This podcast is not designed to invoke fear, but concern. Help us to make everyone aware that the soon return of Jesus is close at hand by clicking the like, subscribe, and then share buttons below. Share this episode with your loved ones, friends, and coworkers. For more information on our ministry, please visit podcasterforchrist.com and be sure to come back next week for another episode of Revelation Warning.